Okay. Someone had asked me a shaila just recently that he had borrowed money from a family, from a member of his family. It seemed like a significant amount of money. He didn't tell me how much money it was. And he said that the family member insisted that they write a shtar for the loan. So he was a little taken aback. Why, you don't trust me? Why do I have to? The guy said, no, it's a halacha. The halacha is that if you lend money, you have to write a shtar. So I wanted to talk about this halacha a little bit. We are very familiar with the fact that there is a mitzvah in the Torah to lend money to somebody and not to charge interest. When you do lend money to somebody, the Torah says, "Shmos perchav beis paschav dalid im kesef tal ve'asami esani im chalosi elo kinosha lo simnul av neshach." So Rashi writes, "Im kesef," even though it says "im kesef tal ve," that if you lend money, Rashi writes that kol im ve'im shabetorah rishus. Every time it says the word "im" in the Torah, generally speaking, it's a rishus. It's not telling you it's an imperative that this is what you have to do. Chutz mishlosha, except for three places where the word "im" is actually a requirement, it's actually a mitzvah. V'ze echad mehem. And this is one of the ims that's an actual requirement, it's an actual mitzvah. If you have money to lend and someone who needs money to borrow, someone who needs to borrow money, you have a mitzvah to lend the person money. And there are dine kedima when it comes to lending money. Rashi, and the very next Rashi tells us, ani va'ashir, ani kodem. There's a mitzvah to lend money even to someone who's a wealthy person, but he needs the capital in order to start a business, whatever it is that he's doing. But still, if you have an ani that you have to lend, that you can lend money to, that person would have kedima over an ashir. An aniye ircha would have kedima over aniye iracheres. There are dine kedima about this halacha, but it's definitely a mitzvah to lend money. If you want to know more about this mitzvah, the general requirement of lending money, you take a look in the Chavetz Chaim Sefer Avas Chesed, and large chunks of the beginning of the Sefer are dedicated to describing this mitzvah in particular. The Torah writes in Choshe Mishpat Simen Ayin, Asur la'adam lahavos ma'us lechavero below Eden. It is asur to lend money to somebody without witnesses. Afilu l'talmud chacham, even if you're lending to a talmud chacham. Unless you demand a mashkon, but if you make a shtar, then harezim mashubach, then that's the best. So what the Torah seems to be setting up for us is three possible ways that you can lend money. You could lend money with a shtar, that's the best. A mashkon or edim are second best. The options of either mashkon or edim. The Torah is not clear which one of those two is better, but shtar, he clearly says, is the best. Where does the Torah get this from? So it's a Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Hem Beis. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Dam Rav says, "Kol mi shiyesh lo ma'us u'malvos below edim." Anyone who has money and doesn't lend that money, and lends that money without witnesses, without making sure that there are witnesses to the loan, is in violation of Lifnei Iver. Why is it Lifnei Iver? Because I'm going to lend somebody money, there aren't going to be any witnesses, it makes it so easy for him to deny the loan and to never pay it back. So I'm causing him to do an Avera, I'm enabling him to do an Avera by not insisting that there be witnesses at the time of the loan. So the Gemara tells us that Ravina didn't want to lend money to Rav Ashi without a shtar, and Rav Ashi said, "What do you mean? Why would you not lend money to me? You don't think you could trust me? You think I'm going to try to deny it later? Why wouldn't you do it for me?" So he said, "Kal v'chomer, I'm not going to do it for you because you're a Torah Begirsa, you're a Talmud Chacham, and you're so involved in your learning. So forget about it. Then you're likely going to forget. So that's why specifically for you, I think it's a violation of Lifnei Iver if I lend money to you without a shtar. Because not that you're going to viciously try to be mean about it, but that you just might forget." Because you're so caught up in your learning. Then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, that a person is gorim klolo liatzmo. Reish Lakish rather says, a person is gorim klolo liatzmo. That if a person lends money without edim, he's causing a curse on himself. Why? Because he's going to forget about, the other party's going to forget about the loan, and you're going to come claim it, and the other party's going to say, "I don't know what you're talking about. You never borrowed money from me. I never borrowed money from you." And everyone's going to say, "Look at this Russia. He's trying to get money out of somebody that he never lent money to. He's trying to make a claim when he never actually lent money to the other party." So everyone's going to curse you. So in order to avoid that klala, a person should make sure that there's edim or a shtar or a mashkon, something that will be a reminder of the loan. So the Gemara is very clear that there are two reasons for this halacha, that you can't just lend money, you need to have something there as a reminder. Again, either because of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, or because gorem klala liatzmo, that either you're causing the other guy to do the avera of not paying back, or you're going to cause yourself to be cursed, which is obviously something very unfortunate that you don't want to have. Now, the Beis Yosef writes that a shtar is better than a mashkon because halva ala mashkon, you might forget how much the loan was for. If you lend with a collateral, you say, okay, so give me your cell phone, give me your watch, or whatever. You'll take that as a mashkon, but that's not a raya to what the actual value of the loan was. But if you have a shtar, you could actually just write the words, write exactly how much the value, how much it was, and then you could avoid the whole problem. So that's why it's better than a mashkon. And this is paskind in Shulchan Aruch, Siminayin Sif Aleph. You're not allowed to lend without edim. Afilu l'talmud chacham, that's obviously directly from the Gemara. Not just even a talmud chacham, but especially a talmud chacham who could get caught up in his learning, unless you have a mashkon, but amal v'bishtar is meshubach yoser, is even better. And anyone who lends without edim is in violation of lifnei iver vigorim klal liatzmo. Shulchan Aruch quotes both of these things. So the major question that all of the achronim have a difficult time dealing with is, why does nobody do this? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it's different no matter depending on how much money you lend, whether you lend $100, $1,000, $5, $1. Shulchan Aruch just says, you lend money, you have to make sure that you have a shtar, edim, something. You need something. So why don't people do this? Now, I assume when people lend significant sums of money, they typically do have a shtar of some sort. But sometimes, maybe even to family members, they say, I could trust him and it's fine, and they'll lend a lot of money without a shtar. And certainly when you're borrowing $5 from your friend to help pay for lunch or whatever, so people definitely don't write shtaros typically in those situations. Why not? It's an afna alach and shulchan aruch taken from a straight out Gemara. So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, and Siminai and Sif Aleph, Umashe in the Saramata Bazeh, Velovim Zemizeh Gamach, below Edom, below Shtar, Mishum de Makirin Zezeh, Vineh Monim Zelazeh, Viodea Malta Shalish Kachvalich below. Because nowadays everyone knows each other, and everyone trusts each other, and no one would ever cheat anybody, no one would ever deny that he owes money. So since nowadays the whole world is entirely honest, so we have nothing to worry about. So Tzitz Eliezer points out that obviously this is extremely dachuk. Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Zayin, Sim Mem Zayin writes, he doesn't understand. He says, is it such achshur dara that in our generation that everyone is so honest and so wonderful, more than they were in the past? And furthermore, who could tell? Who's going to say that the guy's not going to forget? Are we so much better at remembering things in our generation that the guy's not going to forget about the loan? And also, in previous generations, people didn't know each other, and people didn't. The Aruch HaShulchan's lashon was that everyone's makirim ze'ezeh. Everyone knows each other nowadays. And in previous generations, no one knew each other. Now everyone knows each other. Very difficult to accept the Aruch HaShulchan's defense of this practice. So Rav Avadya Yosef in Yabia Omer Chelek Zayin Choshe Mishpat Simen Zayin discusses what the potential Hezbei Rimar or justifications are for why it is that people don't write a shtar. So first, the Aruch HaShulchan, as we said, is number one. We reject that. The second possibility quotes from the Rashash. The Rashash writes that if you look at the Gemara carefully, the Gemara says, "Kol mi sheyesh lo ma'os." Anyone who has money and then lends it below Eden. So maybe it's only talking about someone who has a lot of money, someone who's a very rich guy. Because then you have to be choshesh that the guy who borrowed the money is going to say, that guy's so rich, he doesn't need my money, he's fine without my money, and then you're not going to pay him back. But if it's someone who's not a very rich guy, so no one, you don't have to worry that the person's not going to pay you back, so it's not lifnei either, and it's not gorim klal liatzmo, because the guy's going to want to pay you back. The problem with it, well, I'll mention the third approach, and then we'll mention the problem with both of these. The third possible justification, he quotes from Sefer Erech Shai, that also is medayik from Kol Mi Sheyesh Lo Ma'os, but he's medayik, not that it's talking about necessarily a rich person, but talking about a person who's in the habit of lending money, that this is what he does, he's always lending money. So if I lend money once, I don't need to write a shtar, because what are the chances that the one time I lend money, boom, that time the guy's going to forget? But if you lend money all the time, so chances are at some point somebody's going to forget and he's not going to pay you back. So maybe it's only if you're ragil b'kach. The problem with both of these approaches is that it's very nice diuk in the Gemara, but that expression, kol mi sheyesh lo ma'os, didn't make it into the Rambam in Perek Beis v'Chesmal v'Lova Halacha Zayin, nor into the Shulchan Aruch. So the way it was brought down, la halacha, by the poskim, no one says this kol mi sheyesh lo ma'os. So it's hard to make a diuk in something that didn't make it down into the halacha. A fourth justification from the Arugas Habosim in Yardeya Simresh Lamedhei, where he says that this whole halacha was before Rav Nachman was Mesakin Eshvuas Heses for someone who's Kofar HaKol. It used to be that if you're Kofar HaKol, if you denied the whole loan, you were believed. Now, if someone is kofar hakol, he has to take a shvuas heses. So a guy is not going to deny the loan, because if he has to deny the loan, he's going to be chayiv shvuas heses. So this halacha doesn't apply anymore. Again, the difficulty with this is that this is quoted in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. It's mentioned la halacha in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. So if it's mentioned la halacha in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, how do you say that it's that it no longer applies? That was after the times of Rav Nachman. That was after the time shvuas heses was already instituted. So the in the Tzitz Eliezer, he deals with this and he writes v'lo emna milatzayin masharisi b'sefer shvilei David. He quotes sefer shvilei David in Chosha Mishpat Simen Ayin that it discusses this question. And he says he takes the Shavuos Heses idea from the other angle. He says, why is it that there's an Isser? After all, the guy's going to have to take a Shavuos Heses anyway. So Tzitz Eliezer writes that this Sefer Shvilei David gives two terutzim. First of all, the Kfira L'chud, just denying it in the first place, is itself an Isser. So it's already Lifnei Iver, even if you cause the guy to deny it, even though with his denial he's then going to have to take a Shavuos Heses. But still, the fact that he denied it is itself an Isser. And second of all, you don't want the guy to take a shvuas heses because a shvua, you don't want him to be nishvah l'sheker. It's not beneficial for anybody to have a guy be nishvah l'sheker. So the shvuas heses does not necessarily solve all of the problems. A fifth possible approach is from the Pilpul Charifta, and this is quoted by all the poskim. Pilpul Charifta in Parakei Zuneshek writes that maybe when Reish Lakish says that it's gorim klola liatzmo, maybe Reish Lakish is not giving an additional reason that it's aser to lend without nishtar. Maybe he's arguing. He's saying, it's not that in addition to Lifnei Iver, it's also Gorim Klal Liatzmo, but he's saying it's not Lifnei Iver. I don't think it's Lifnei Iver at all, because Lifnei Iver is only when someone is going to violate an Avera now. But if I'm lending him money, and then in a month from now, he's not going to pay me back, that's not called Lifnei Iver. That's not Begeder Lifnei Iver. It's only that it's Gorim Klal Liatzmo. That's what Reish Lakish holds. So if, let's say, the guy doesn't mind, he's mochel on the klala that he's causing himself, I want to lend you money, and I don't want to write a shtar, I'm fine with the klala. It's totally okay with me to have that klalus. It says Pilpul Charifta, if you hold like Reish Lakish, then maybe it would be okay, and that would be the explanation. But then the Pilpul Charifta himself says that it's hard to say that that's what everyone relies on, because in Shulchan Aruch it says, and in the Rambam it says, that Lifnei Iver reason and the Gorim Kol Liatzmo reason. Plus, Tzitz Eliezer points out that our Mamari Chazal so meaningless to us that we're just like, oh, okay, no problem, I don't mind Gorim Kol Liatzmo. Chazal were obviously deeply concerned about Gorim Kol Liatzmo. A person's just going to say, oh, it doesn't matter to me, it's okay. Who are we to say such a thing? A sixth possibility that the Rav Vadia quotes, he says that maybe the Gemara doesn't mean that it's really Lifnei Iver. He quotes this from the Marshag in Chelek Beis Simen Kuf, that maybe when the Gemara says Lifnei Iver, it doesn't mean the real Isser of Lifnei Iver. It means it's Ba'achrayus Lovali De Lifnei Iver, that you're somewhat responsible for what the other guy ends up doing, but it's not a real Isser Gemara. And the Raya to this is a Ritva in Megillah Daf Chav Chesamad Aleph, where the Gemara says over there, Tasteli Delay one of the Amoraim says, I deserve a great amount of credit because I never made a partnership with a guy. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you deserve a great amount of credit? So Gemara in Sanhedrin Samach Gimel, you're not allowed to make a shutfus with a guy, because if he's Mechayiv Yushvua, he's going to swear by the name of his Avodah Zarah. So what do you mean, tastily, that I deserve great credit for doing this? You're going to cause the guy to swear by his Avodah Zarah. So he says, no, it's not an Isser Mamish Tarais or Drabanan, it's a Midus Chasidus Bialma. And says the Ritva, you know, just like lending money without Eidim. It's just a midas chasidus bi'alma, and it doesn't really mean that it's a genuine iser of Lifnei Iver. Again, the problem is, it's not what it says in the Rambam, it's not what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says aser. It sounds like that it's a real iser. The final approach to explain this that I found is in the seventh approach, I guess this would be, in that same tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer, he quotes from a tshuva's Ben Yehuda, Simon Kufnan Dalid, that he says, maybe the minig is based on the fact that people who generally lend without Eidim are business people, and they dafka lend without Eidim because they're always borrowing money and lending money to each other when they need for business, and they don't want word to get out that they're borrowing money, because then it's going to look like their business is not doing well, and if word gets out, it's going to be bad for business. It's going to become a self-fulfilling thing that people are going to think their business is bad, and then business will become bad. So they do this because it's EF Sharbi Inyan Acher, and maybe when it's EF Sharbi Inyan Acher, there's no other way to reasonably do business, so maybe that's the head. Keter. That Chazal wouldn't be Gozer in a case where there's no other reasonable way to do business. The problem with this is that, let's say, you're not a businessman, or let's say that's not your Svari, you're not thinking along those lines as to why you're not writing a Shtar, then that would not help. The Rav Avadia writes at the end of his tshuva that even though there is this minhag that everyone writes, that everyone lends money without a shtar and without edim, he says it's wrong. It's not something that people should do. He quotes from a tshuva's Yad Yitzchak, who was also asked why people are knowing this way, and he writes, Ani lo no dalisha nagu kein. I don't know that people are nohik to not write shtaros. I think it's against the Shulchan Aruch. What do you mean? Every firm Jew that I know writes shtaros. I don't know if you really meant that or just like, meaning there's no excuse. Why wouldn't you write a shtar? Even the Rosh Yosef, where he's miyashiv the minog, and he spends a lot of time being miyashiv this minog, says, I was just writing to be miyashiv the minog, but ledina chalila lozes mi psaka Shulchan Aruch. God forbid we shouldn't go against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So that's certainly the tone that Rav Avadia takes, that a person should certainly be makbid about this. Tzitz Eliezer, at the end of his tshuva, says that the very idea of Gorim Klal Liatzmo, he says, you have to realize that sometimes it may be better to write without a shtar. He says the Sefer Dvar HaMishpat explains the Gemara in Yevamistav Samach Gimel, where it says that someone who's Malvus Sela La'ani B'Shas Dachko, Alav HaKasav Omer Oz Tikra V'Hashem Ya'aneh, that if a person lends money to a poor person, B'Shas Dachko, Hashem will answer that person's tefilos. So he says maybe Pshat in that Gemara is B'Shas Dachko, is that you don't stand on ceremony and say, oh, let's wait till we could write a shtar or till we can get Edom. No, he's desperate now, give him money right now. And such a person is going to be answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe in certain times where there's great desperation, maybe it's even better to write without a shtar. The tone that Tzitz Eliezer takes at the end of his tshuva is that it's always been the minhag, and while we don't have a really good explanation or justification, it's hard to say that a minhag Yisrael that everyone's been doing for many, many years is completely off base or completely wrong. So that is a little bit about some of the justifications, but it seems halacha lemaisa that if a person can write a quick IOU $1, $5, even on a small amount of money, I think it seems just from the analysis of the sources that it would be the best thing to do.